the world. We are the best. To the beach, y'all. Let's go. All around the world. Y'all know.
The stats, the salt, the sanity.
And every so often, they talk about sports, too.
Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
Too many players get offers like me. Back and forth, but likely shake the checks off your Nikes. They almost had me in a suit at the draft because it looked like a free throw when I be shooting from half. The first step like Iverson, blow past you. Usually nothing but net, but I could go blast too. When I'm in the paint, the defense so shook, they don't know if I'm going to put up a slow hook or dish off a no look. See, my game consists of a whole lot of moves you would think I love.
All right, welcome back to another week of Armchair Sports Talk. Listen, if you were fans of last week's show, you liked our little hockey bracket, you're not going to miss much because we're going to do it again. But this time, go with one that I think might be a little easier because there are just so many good players on like two or three of the teams that if they don't make it to the finals, someone voted wrong. We're going to do our jersey bracket for the Detroit Pistons this time. And all I want to say before we start this show is, Russ, good luck next week when we decide to do baseball, because that might take you a week just to figure all the teams out.
Coming when sports are back.
Might take that long to figure it out. But the other two people, great to have on this show, but if you listen to our show with any regularity, you know Justin Marcus, not a big NBA fan, but he's going to do his best.
I learned that balls do not contain helium just a while back, so I'm just ready to educate the next person who needs to know that exact information.
And
called progress.
Yeah, it's called progress. And for the fun of it, we got Dio Pauly Rowe on. He's kind of becoming a little bit of a regular on this show. Paul, are you not doing doctorly duties lately or something?
Oh, I definitely am. But, I mean, you made me study basketball, which all is right, definitely right.
Listen, be honest. For those of you who don't know, we're not messing when we say Dio. Paul really is a doctor. He's done the medical school, we think. We went to his medical school one time. It was attached to a gas station, so we're a little curious as to why, if it's a real accredited medical school, but we'll take it. Paul, what was tougher, medical school or studying for this NBA thing?
Depends on the day, but for right now, it's yeah, studying for this NBA.
This is kind of a little precursor. We're going to tease up to it because the medical school, or not medical school, the NBA bracket will be how we end this show.
The medical school bracket.
We're going to end this with Paul's favorite top 10 doctors of all time.
Yeah, I'm going to take Johns Hopkins coming out of the East region.
That's fine.
Take a Doc McStuffins.
I was going to say
Doc McStuffins.
Spoiler alert.
Kevorkian.
Can Gray Sloan come out of the Northwest Division?
Thoughts on Kevorkian? Too soon? Don't want to touch on that?
Sleeper pick. He's a definite sleeper pick. Don't sleep on Kevorkian.
See you guys next week.
He's going to kill it. He's going to absolutely kill it.
Okay, stop. We have to end it right there. That's just too.
I say he's going to kill it.
Yeah, that's what he got in trouble for, ending it right there.
Too many Kevorkian jokes. No, we're going to finish with our NBA, our Pistons bracket. But I kind of want to lead in the show with one thing. And this was one, it came from just having a conversation on the phone with my dad the other day, debating with him. And in the city of Detroit, there we keep, every week we seem to be talking about that Mount Rushmore of great players. And one guy who I think is a staple on it is probably Isaiah Thomas. Led the Pistons to their first two titles ever. Was a big key player. He's on the 50 greatest players of all time. Justin, because you know so much about him, I want to ask you, in a era where he played with the likes of Bird, Jordan, Magic, Charles Barkley. Yes, Charles Barkley actually played basketball at one point. He was in shape and could do those things.
The round mound of rebound.
John Stockton, Karl Malone, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, all-time leading scorer in the NBA. Why is it that this guy who is a perennial all-star, 12-time all-star, isn't really mentioned anymore? You don't hear a lot about Isaiah Thomas when they start debating the greats.
You know, from what I looked up, I can tell you exactly why. Not even being an NBA fan, I can tell you exactly why. Magic won 5 titles before Isaiah won his first. And he is bookended by Magic's beginning of his career and MJ winning 6 titles in 8 years. So yeah, he won 2 championships in the middle of all that. But he got bookended by both MJ and Michael Jordan. Not to mention, he's only 6'1", and the other dudes have at least 5 to 8 inches on him. Mm-hmm. He was like the insignificant meat in a great sandwich. That he got overshadowed by even his physical attributes, and then when his relevance popped up for the two titles, it was all about MJ and it was all about Magic before and after. So he's insignificant meat.
Fair enough. But I mean, many will argue that because Magic and them were winning the titles left and right out in LA, that they had to get past Boston. Boston was the other team playing in a lot of those titles against LA. So they had to get past Boston. After they got past Boston, they had to get past LA. Come on later, Jordan had to get past the Bulls just to get past the Pistons just to get the finals. So in a lot of cases, Isaiah was the benchmark to get out of the East.
Yes, yeah, so I didn't know that, to be honest with you. Like the leading up to the championships, yeah, that makes sense. It's just, to me, it Jordan won. I don't know, man. Isaiah was stuck in the middle. That's what I understood. He was kind of just stuck in the middle.
Well, he wasn't even the greatest point guard in his generation because no one's going to get past Magic. So that's fine.
And he wasn't even the great. He came out of Chicago. Michael Jordan is more known in Chicago than Isaiah is from where he was born.
That's totally fine. Cool.
Hot take there. Jeez.
Well, yeah. Tell us how you really feel. Listen, though. Two-time NBA champion, made it to three consecutive NBA finals, 12-time All-Star, assist leader in 1985. Russ and I talked about this today because I had Russ run the math for me. 19.2 points a game, 9.3 assists a game, just under 2 steals a game. Russ looked it up. If he plays his whole career, same amount of games, same amount of everything, he was 1 point and one assist a game away from averaging a double-double for his entire career. Shows you how good he was. His worst year scoring, he still averaged 15 points a game and 7 assists. So this guy was never really falling off the map, Russ. In your opinion, I mean, Jay presented a very good case. Totally would understand if he jumped on that one. Why is it that Isaiah Thomas isn't really mentioned, even though he is considered one of the 50 greatest of all time?
I think it's kind of what Justin was talking about, that how many names you lifted off. Like, I could say, hey, it's because Detroit versus everybody, and maybe that plays a little bit here, that it's not the Showtime Lakers, so people don't pay attention. But that era of basketball was like the Greek pantheon. Like, you remember Zeus, you remember Hercules, and that's more to do with a Disney movie than any research that you did. Not the R-rated clip show that would have been these Pistons, but, like, he's Hades, right? And Sally Laimbeer and Rodman, that's the three-headed Cerberus. And nobody talks about him because he's not as fun, but they were more edgy, right? That's why he gets left behind, because he's not the golden boy. He wasn't the poster child, really. I mean, that, like, Magic was, and it's a shame because, shit, he was damn good. Probably the best Piston that's ever been, and it's a shame. But there was just so much talent everywhere that's kind of why he gets washed away, I think.
Sorry, we're on Skype. I got lost to Paul's eyes. yeah, absolutely.
You're welcome.
Did Russ just basically say that Isaiah was the Patrice Bergeron of the NHL, being overlooked by every other superstar that has a bigger platform?
It's possible.
That's what.
Ooh, and as a teammate who plays incredibly dirty, and people wanted him out of the league for what nasty was. Ooh.
Wow! It only took Justin 4.5 minutes into this show to bring up hockey.
Sorry, I didn't. No, we're not going down that road.
No. I got you. Actively did everything I could to not have hockey in the show, and he brings it in.
Nice try,
Paul. Over to you, though. I listen. I got lost in your eyes. I want to know what you think about all this. Honestly, he's probably on the Mount Rushmore of Detroit greats. He's greatest point guard we've ever had. Little bit of the same thing. He just kind of gets lost in the shuffle of too many people that have to get past to be, you know, brought up.
So you would think with nicknames like Babyface Assassin and Pocket Magic, that it would speak for itself, right? However, so, you know, to give him credit, you know, I'll list off the things I found out about him that I thought would, you know, basically put him at the top. And then basically what happens is, once you start comparing other people on top of him, that's where he kind of gets lost, because the people that are kind of, at least stats-wise, above him. So just to kind of give him some credit, you know, he was drafted second overall by the Pistons, 12-time NBA All-Star, Hall of Fame in 2000. Chosen by People Magazine as one of the 50 most beautiful people in the world, 1990. I mean,
I've changed my whole opinion on what you just said.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, and a whole bunch of other accolades back from when he was in college with the Hoosiers. I don't know why. I mean, obviously they're a great basketball powerhouse, but I don't know why you would play go to that school otherwise. But anyway, so just to compare him to like the people that you at least mentioned, you know, like Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. So in every stat category, granted, you know, he was a different position than the other two, but you know, you look at his stats, and one that jumped out at me was that for his position, you know, his 3-point percentage was 29%. And then even guys that were more the power forwards, like Magic and I think, Magic and Bird, they were above him as well as power forwards in the percentage. So, like, you know, Larry Bird, he was at, it looks like 37.6% from 3-point land. And then also from, you know, for Magic, he was at like 30.3%. So they're up there and above Thomas, but everything else, even in less games too, I might add, they all had higher stats than him for points per game. Assists, of course, were pretty close. Obviously, rebounds are going to differ because of position, but you know they all had more and better stats than him in less games, and he had the cooler nicknames though. Okay, because I got to point out, Larry Bird had obviously Larry Legend, the Hick from the French Lick, and Kodak. I don't know why. then Magic, he was Magic, he was Buck, EJ to BJ, and then also Tragic. I don't know why.
Probably the age. Tragic,
but anyway, point being. But point being is that, you know, when you look at him for him without comparing to anyone else, obviously he's someone to remember based off of what he's done. But as soon as you throw in those guys, it's kind of an unfair fight to throw in, like, a little bit better of the best of them, you know, like Magic, Bird, and then I left Michael Jordan off of here because that speaks for itself, but, you know, you're comparing some really great people, but he's not forgotten unless you talk about the
Why would you put a mediocre baseball player in this conversation? I don't understand.
Yeah, no, well, what's wrong with you? I mean, he couldn't even crack the White Sox Farm League. What's wrong with you, man? Good God.
You know, Tebow? Come on.
Yeah, we're talking about Jordan. Listen, guys, if he's that meticulous with notes about stuff he's really not that knowledgeable about, imagine how meticulous he's going to be when he's checking you or giving you an examination. Dr. Paul Rowe. Go see him, everyone. He's great. He's great. As he knocks back that cup of coffee with just such confidence. I'm going to add one thing that no one really mentioned, and I think it's just more a personal thing than what he did on the court. Actually, he did this on the court. A lot of people don't know that the year after that they didn't make the finals, they played the Bulls. The Bulls beat them. That's what led to Chicago getting, you know, on the run that they did. Before the game was even over, Laimbeer, Thomas, Dumars, Rodman, all those guys, they all walked off the court and left and went to the locker room before the game was even over. A lot of which still never been confirmed, but it's basically believed that Isaiah Thomas orchestrated it. We're not going to shake their hands. We're not going to be, you know, good ambassadors to them. They beat us. We're done. A lot of people believe that's the reason he got left off the dream team. He was more than capable of being a player on that dream team. He got left off because no one on that team wanted to play with him. A big reason why you don't hear him talked about is because a lot of the people they're talking to about these greats are the ones he played with and don't like him, don't want to talk about him, don't think that much of him because he was the way he was. Listen, we grew up on him. We love him. They're great. They were a goon squad back then. Their goal was to see how many times can we knock you to the floor, not how many times can we knock down a jump shot. They would have been happy winning a game 4-2 if it meant that they hit you 42 times in that game. It actually poses the question, who is tougher, the grind line or the starting line for the Bad Boys?
Brand new mouth at the Palace. Here we go.
Oh, there we go all day. Darren McCarty and Isaiah Thomas swinging on each other. That could be interesting to see. You never know. Isaiah might need money right now. We don't know what he's doing with his life. No one hears from.
Call Joe Rogan or whoever, Dana White. They're trying to do that MMA island anyways.
Yeah, we can get them on the island. That'd be great. But listen, Isaiah was a great player. I mean, the numbers don't lie. Anytime you score 18,000 points and have almost 10,000 assists, you were pretty good at the game.
Meh.
Yeah. So to me, it is more the fact that it's what he did off the court and how he behaved on the court, not exactly how he played, that takes him out of it, because we've reached that generation where you're talking about the greats with the greats. So they're not going to bring up someone they didn't enjoy playing with because he was an asshole. So it is weird. I think he should be talked about more, the things he did on the court. Two times, like, listen, I know you said it, Jay. Magic has 5 titles. Jordan has 6 titles. We've made 3 straight NBA finals. We lost to the Lakers in the first one and the one back-to-backs. So it isn't anything when you compare that. I mean, Bird has multiple titles. Magic has multiple titles. Jordan has multiple titles. It's just – it's a lot to go up against. But when you're that good at basketball, no reason to get the short straw.
It's our conversation about Hall of Fames, and someone has to be the bottom of the best, like the worst of the best. There's always going to be the worst of the best. They are a pain in the ass to deal with. Yeah. And that's what I think Isaiah Thomas might be.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with that one bit. Moving on. We're close to the NFL draft. It's, mere couple weeks away. They're going to be doing it the same way we're doing this right now, Skyping with each other. So I can't wait for someone to forget to unmute their microphone and say, wow, I really don't want that guy. He sucks. But I hope
100% John Gruden in his boxers.
I know, 100%. I cannot wait to say, what was it, Jay? Knock on wood if you're with me.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
So that being what it is, we're still working on how we're going to cover that, because I think the NFL is still working on how they're going to cover it. So we're playing it by ear right now, but decide, let's have a little bit of fun. Let's do our top 10. Our top 10 picks. You got the Bengals, the Redskins, the Lions, Giants, Dolphins, Chargers, Panthers, Cardinals, Jags, and Browns. Just go through it. Everybody's going to make their pick. I said it a couple minutes ago. Trades are allowed. So you got to justify the trade, though. It can't just be, I want the Lions to have the number one pick. So they are. You got to justify the trade if you're going to make it.
Oh, man. But I do want it.
But you do. I understand.
Gimme.
So, ding, ding, ding. Commissioner walks to the podium. This is the 2020 NFL draft. The Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, there you go. The Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock. Paul, with the first overall pick in this NFL draft, where are the Cincinnati Bengals going?
The Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrows. Cheers, cheers, cheers. The guy's got tiny hands. Cheers, cheers, cheers. Russ, over to you. Cincinnati Bengals select.
Joe Burrow, and dear God help them if they pick anyone else.
Absolutely. Jay Marcus.
Joe Burrow. I wanted to make a joke, but I'll keep it serious. It's Joe Burrow.
It's Joe Burrow.
Wrap up this Joe Burrito. We got to go.
with the first overall pick, the Cincinnati Bengals select Brian Lewerke, because they're it's unanimous. Joe Burrows across the board. Moving on to the Redskins, we'll just kind of keep this in a rotation here. I will say the first two are pretty much the same. They're not going to change. It's going to be Chase Young, defensive end out of Ohio State. I don't want it to be. I'd love it for him to be there, but the Redskins, I want to believe, can't screw this one up. So second pick, Washington Redskins, take Young out of Ohio State. Jay, over to you.
I want Young. I want him so bad. I want him to drop. I can't find another player that would make more sense, though, for them. They might screw it up, and we might get very lucky, but it should be Chase Young.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Russ?
So how did Anakin go around and kill all the little kids? Well, he chased Young, and that's the obvious pick is the important one, and it'll be less tragic than what our dear Anakin did. Chase Young.
You were the chosen one!
Exactly. Let me ask you, though. How long do you think it'll be before he tells the Redskins, I hate you, really loud, screaming in pain?
As soon as Dan Snyder calls.
Exactly. Paul, we don't leave you out of this. Your medical opinion, who goes number two?
In a medical opinion? still Chase Young.
Chase Young.
He's obviously going to be an immediate impact player, and if they pass on him, I mean, I'd love to for the Lions' sake, but they're not going to pass on him, unfortunately. So, yep, he's definitely next.
Definitely number two. I like it. Coming right back to you real quick, Paul. This is the big one. With the third pick in the 2020 NFL draft, our Detroit Lions select.
Well, when Slade went on his way, and if it's not to our dismay, maybe take another cornerback. Jeffrey Okuda.
Okay. All right. I like
that. How did you break your rhyme?
Yeah, I know.
Very nice. Very nice. You had us going for a minute there. Russ, you're following him up with?
I'm disappointed that I don't have a rhyme going. I have Jeff Okuda. A trade down's possible. In the interest of time, I still think if they fell to 5 or 6, they'd still be targeting Okuda. That's kind of what the offseason blueprint has leaned towards. That's the open spot on the roster. That's where I think they address.
I like it. I like it. Justin?
I want Tua, personally, obviously. I don't think they're going to do that. I could see a toss-up between Derek Brown and Okuda. It depends on what side defensively he wants to look at in terms of Patricia and Quinn. Does he want to look more in the backfield or go up front? Both players are going to be there. I want them to take Tua. It's probably going to be Okuda. I'm going to go with Tua, though, just to keep it spicy. I want my dreams to come true.
All right. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
So if he's working on the defensive backfield, but instead decides to go up front, that's a kind of reach around that I would not like.
But see, like,
well played.
I don't know. He's supposed to be this defensive guy. I don't trust it. And I see him doing dumb shit. So I know I kind of picked 3 options, but I'll go with Tua because that's just what I want.
Tua. Okay. All right. Ding, ding. Here's our first trade in this 2020 NFL draft. The Detroit Lions have traded the number 3 overall pick to the Miami Dolphins for the number 5 pick. And I believe they have the 25th or 26th pick. So they've traded. Those are just the conditions I'm going to give for this. I'm sure there'll be more in there. And with the 3rd overall pick, he was going to go at number 3 no matter what, apparently, according to Jay and I. The Dolphins select Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback out of Alabama. So Tua goes at number 3. He goes to the Miami Dolphins, not the Detroit Lions. Skipping down to the next pick, the New York Giants. I actually have them taking Jeffrey Okuda here. So I have Okuda going 4 to the Giants. He's a talented player. You're going to take best available on the board, and that's Okuda for the Giants. Jay, over to you.
Well, under my example of Tua, Okuda would be next, and he would be going to the Giants as well.
Okay, I like it. Russ?
So I had Okuda going 3, so he's not available here. I think the Giants protect their two biggest assets in Barkley and Jones, and they take Wirfs, new tackle, to protect them.
Okay, that's not a bad pick at all. Not a bad pick at all. Paulie, over to you. Where's the Big Apple going?
I have Isaiah Simmons.
It's a pretty good pick.
They allowed the Giants allowed the 3rd most points per game last year, mm-hmm. So they need some help on the defensive end, and I think he's next up in this batch of fine gentlemen to do that.
I think he's probably the best available player in this draft at that pick. So that's a very good pick for you there, Paulie. Moving down, so obviously I had them trading, so I'll have to do a little juggling here. But with the next pick, Paul, who do you have the Miami Dolphins taking?
That's where I have Tua going.
Okay. So no matter what, Miami's going to get – Tua's going to go to Miami. We just have it in different ways. I like it. Russ?
Yep.
I also had Tua going to Miami. Concerns that maybe his medical and the lack of teams being able to see him face-to-face makes him fall, in which case maybe Justin Herbert jumps, but I don't think there's a chance with all the Tua to Miami shit we've been hearing for a year and a half now. Yeah. They'll take them one way or the other. They'll outbid the Chargers if they have to. Tua to Miami, one way or the other.
Tua to Miami, I like it. Jay, over to you. Who's the Miami Dolphins taking here?
Best player left at this point in time would be Isaiah Simmons. So Isaiah Simmons would be going to Miami.
Okay, well, Jay and I are on the same page. I have Isaiah Simmons getting drafted here, but I have him getting drafted by the Detroit Lions. Lions trade back. Get an extra first-round pick here. Pick up Isaiah Simmons, who's going to be an immediate impact on this roster the second he steps on the field. I don't know about you guys. I'd be overjoyed at getting Isaiah Simmons with the 5th pick. I just feel like 3 is a little bit too much of a reach to take him. Sounds weird to say when you're talking about it only being 2 picks, but we've all seen how those 2 picks make a world of difference in the talent drop-off. So I have Isaiah Simmons going to the Detroit Lions from the trade. I'm excited about that one. Moving on, the Chargers. This one was pretty easy for me. I've said since we started this conversation about draft and the picks, I think Justin Herbert's the best available quarterback in this draft. And I have Justin Herbert going to the LA Chargers with that pick. So, Jay, over to you.
There are better players that they could use, but they need a quarterback. And I also have Herbert going here as well. So it'd be the second quarterback. Actually, no, it'd be the third quarterback in the first round.
Third quarterback off the board in the first six picks. Yeah. Russ, over to you.
I think there is a chance. This is not what I'm predicting, but I think there is a chance that the Chargers go, hey, we'll figure it out with the veteran group. This is very much our window's closing and take an offensive tackle. I don't think they do, though. I think they take Justin Herbert. Do they have a chance to get aggressive and move up and get Tua? Yes, but they're not going to ruin welcome to Miami. They're just, please don't ruin that pun for me. That's all I really ask for. So Justin Herbert to the Chargers.
Well, Will Smith is way too invested in welcome to Miami, so you can't mess with that.
Yep. Absolutely.
Whatever. That Spanish really paid off for you. Paul, over to you. Who are you taking? Who are the LA Chargers taking with that pick?
Yeah, I have Herbert going there as well. They'll see Tua go off the board, freak out that they need a quarterback, and snag Herbert right after.
All right, well, clean sweep across the board on that one. Moving on, the Carolina Panthers. A lot of people would say, I mean, obviously, Bridgewater being there, that makes something. A lot of people would say this is a team that, you know, if a quarterback's on the board, you really can't pass. I mean, Bridgewater's a talented player, but that knee injury, you never know what you're going to get out of him. Hasn't really played a lot since that injury. He's played in sparing. Pretty good for the Saints this year. With that pick, Paul, who you have him going with?
I got Derek Brown from Auburn going there.
It's a good pick. It's a very good pick. Yeah, Russ, over to you.
So this Panthers defense is awful. So I think anyone that picks a defensive player going to them, hey, you've got something going on at least. This is where I have Isaiah Simmons falling. He's the kind of guy that if you're going to have him as a linebacker or a safety, then he might not be worth a top five pick. He needs to be somewhere where you fit the entire defense around him. Well, the barren defensive landscape in Carolina is perfect for that. He goes, he replaces Kuechly, who retired, and just flourishes in a defense suited uniquely to his talents because they can build it from scratch because all they've got is scratch. So Isaiah Simmons to Carolina, I'm going to be sad for a very long time watching him succeed.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Jay, over to you. Carolina Panthers are going to go where?
Just a quick shout-out, RIP Cam Newton. I miss you, buddy. I wish you were back on there tonight. I love Cam Newton. I have them actually protecting Bridgewater and McCaffrey, who just signed a great deal. I have them going offensive tackle to Jedarik Willis out of Bama. He's a 312-pound right tackle who can shut down the pass rush. Their defense is abysmal. Keep it that way. We're used to it here. They can do it down there. They're going to protect their assets offensively. Jedarik Willis is gone.
All right. I think they are going to defense here. I really do. This is where I have my reach. Now, not to say this guy isn't a caliber for a top 10 pick. I personally think he's the best middle linebacker available. They need to replace Kuechly. Kuechly was a locker room presence. They need to replace him. Shout out to my wife downstairs, Oklahoma fan. I'm taking her boy, Kenneth Murray, middle linebacker out of Oklahoma. I just think he's too talented to let slip by because I think he's going to be – I can hear her boomer sooner downstairs. So with that pick, I have them taking Kenneth Murray. A little bit of a reach, yes, but if the talent and the upside's there, it's going to be proven. So, yeah, I can see Russ reaching. I got it. I like it. That's fine. Kenneth Murray, middle linebacker to the Carolina Panthers. Moving on, Arizona Cardinals. Now, this is the one where I think we're going to have a lot of fun because I think Justin's going to be really happy with the pick I made. Justin made a little prediction at the start of the football season that this man would win the Heisman. He didn't do it, though I think he should have been a lot more considered than he was. You look at the Cardinals. They traded away Johnson, so they don't have a running back. They've got that passing game solidified.
Kenyon Drake.
That's fine. I don't care. You want to pad this with real talent. So with that talent, I haven't taken Jonathan Taylor, running back out of Wisconsin.
Wow.
Now the reason I have let me tell you of the two
because they logged offline in auto draft.
That's why. No. Listen. I have a justifiable reason for this. I really do.
Okay.
The two best available running backs, if you're looking at it, are Jonathan Taylor and DeAndre Swift, both very talented. Taylor averaged 6.3 yards a carry for 2,000 yards and 21 touchdowns. He also had 26 receptions for 252 yards and 5 touchdowns, which tells me one thing. They trusted him at Wisconsin to catch the football. That's something that Cliff Kingsbury is going to want, because they're never going to hand the ball off. They're just going to throw it to Jonathan Taylor and tell him to catch and then run. Jonathan Taylor is the talented one to do that. Swift only had 24 receptions for 200 yards and 1 touchdown. So Jonathan Taylor is the most complete back in this. I have him taking him. He completes that offense, in my opinion, to be able to run that Texas Tech offense with Kyler Murray. So that was a little – I understand it's a little bit, but I think you get the talent where you can get the talent, Jay.
I will give you $700 if this happens.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not too far off the beaten path from you, my friend, because I have them looking at CeeDee Lamb. I have them getting their replacement for Larry Fitzgerald. He is coming back again. I'm hoping not to get that ESPN tweet midwinter that he is coming back again for 2021-22. CeeDee Lamb looks better than Marquise Brown, N'Keal Harry, and DJ Moore. And those are other notable wide receivers that have gone in the first round. He could be as good as, because of his measurements, as Calvin Ridley. So I think if they can get their Calvin Ridley for their team, Larry Fitzgerald's gone. They have their slot receiver in Christian Kirk. Arizona's loaded on offense, so CeeDee Lamb goes.
CeeDee Lamb over Jerry Jeudy. That's I like it. I like it.
I would take CeeDee Lamb over Jerry Jeudy no matter what team. Yeah, you are.
Aaron's gonna be very happy to hear you going with an Oklahoma wide receiver.
Yeah, Sooner Boomer.
How do Boomer, I do it? Sooner Boomer Sooner.
Oh,
yeah, Boomer,
you're
Sooner.
So close.
Russ, over to you with that pick. Where are they? Where are they going?
So I am apparently the lame one now. I went boring because they already blew the roof. Blew the roof off the stadium there by getting Nuke earlier. I went with Jedrick Willis, getting the offensive tackle to actually protect Kyler Murray so he doesn't, you know, die before he gets to throw to all of his options. Yeah, it might be boring, but I think it's exactly what this
nothing
team
boring needs. About it. You get what you need to fill the gaps. Paul, over to you. Arizona Cardinals go where?
I went with best available at that point, given who I selected already. So that's where I have Tristan Wirfs going,
okay.
Actually.
Nothing wrong. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah. Right back at you, Paul. Jacksonville Jaguars trade Nick Foles. Kind of a weird thing since they just signed Nick Foles. They're going to go with Gardner Minshew, a.k.a. the real-life Uncle Rico. This is a team that's got a lot of talent in multiple places, but they still obviously need help. Where are they going with that 9th pick?
I have them going with Javon Kinlaw, the, quote, best interior DL in the draft, according to some sources. So that's who I have.
According to CBS, ESPN, and Bleacher Report, there you go. Good job.
Sports Illustrated, but yeah.
Russ, over to you. Jacksonville Jaguars. Where does ESPN and CBS say they're going?
Okay, so if I stick with the Jags, I think this is where we see a reach, and it's C.J. Henderson. I think they're going to target the local guy, and they keep trading away all their corners, so they need somebody on the outside there. But in reality, this is where I think we see a trade. The Raiders come up from 12 to 9, trade away one of the thirds to come get Jerry Jeudy, to go throw in another fantastic weapon out there for Gruden to play with and Spider Tuba Banana himself to sleep every night. So, yeah, 12 plus a third jumps up the Raiders to 9. They grab Jerry Jeudy. Jags can probably get C.J. Henderson.
Okay. I like it. Jay, over to you. We're the 9th pick. Jacksonville Jaguars select.
I like Russ. I like what Russ did. That was sexy. I have Derek Brown, which is defensive tackle. It is on defense, but his ability to break through a line and just disrupt plays is unreal, and he did a great job of that in Auburn. But I like the trade down. It would make sense because if CeeDee Lamb's going to be gone, Jerry Jeudy might be targeted by other people because he's only the second best wideout. That would make sense for them to actually jump up and grab what they need, and then that ends the wideouts for day one. But
that ends the wideouts for day one. It's not. It's cute. It's very cute. It's not really, in my opinion, much of a reach.
Hot.
It's so hot. So hot.
Oh, you guys bother me. You guys bother me a little bit.
Oh boy.
Good.
Yeah, we've been in quarantine for too long.
Meanwhile, I'm over here trying. I have the right roster, but my computer doesn't. So this is what you call riffing. I'm riffing right now. No, honestly, I have them. Russ had it right that Jerry Jeudy's going to go. Unfortunately, he's going to actually stay and go to Jacksonville. Because if you're the head coach, you're looking at, you got a young quarterback. You don't really know what you're going to get out of him. What you do is you have a very established running back in Leonard Fournette, who, when he stays healthy, can really run the ball. Add on that fact of you have Marquise Lee, Dee Westbrook, you throw in Jerry Jeudy, and it really does put them in a position of there's just so much offensive talent on that side of the football. You can get away with maybe not having a complete defense, and you can say, outscore us. You don't think you'll be able to do it, so give it a shot. So I have Jerry Jeudy going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And lastly, the Cleveland Browns with that 10th overall pick. This one was simple for me, and it's almost staying with that premise of you have pieces in that offense that work. You have Odell. You have Landry. You have tight ends, Hooper, Njoku. You have all that. You have, in my opinion, one of the top three running backs in the league when he's healthy and playing in Chubb. You have Baker, who's proven that when he's given time, given the ability, he can make plays and keep this offense in it. So in looking at that, that means there's one thing you don't have that you maybe could look into getting, and that's an offensive line upgrade.
Yes.
So with that, I have them, and again, you guys mentioned a lot of great offensive linemen. I just didn't have them taking those guys, and not for any, like, evil reason. I just have them going with Andrew Thomas, offensive tackle out of Georgia. I just think solidify that offensive line, get it as good as you can, because better blocking means just an easier lane for Chubb to run through and means a little bit of more time for Baker to find Odell, because Odell didn't catch the ball very much last year, and he really should have. So, yeah, I've got them. Andrew Thomas, offensive tackle out of Georgia. Jay, over to you.
I think Cleveland has had enough fun on the offensive side of the ball. I've actually got them going defense. I got them going with a player who's not as solidified in his position but needs to learn a little bit more, and that's A.J. Epinesa. I'm probably slaughtering that. He is an edge out of Iowa. Yeah. He looks like
very
a badass motherfucker. Like, if you have to say badass motherfucker, go look at Epinesa. I'm probably ruining that again. I think I said it differently the second time, too. He looks like an assassin. So I got him going to Cleveland. Look a little dirty up on the edge.
Tremendously talented player. I see a lot of upside. I like him. And I love that you can't say his name. That's just one more guy we can. It's one more guy. It's one more guy we can put
it's in the league
next year. Make you have to. I honestly was waiting for you to say epinephrine, just so that would have been enjoyable.
Yeah, I was
for
waiting
me.
For EpiPen.
Yeah, I saw it coming. Paul, please tell me you're going to draft this guy and nickname him the EpiPen.
I will now.
No, Russ, over to you with that Browns pick.
Oh, so I again went a little bit boring. I'm in the same line of thought as you, Eric, that they need some offensive line. They have struggled on the left side of that line since, Joe Thomas retired. Like, they've been awful on that side. So I actually have them taking Becton out of Louisville, just an absolute monster of a human being, like 6'7", 364. If he can move a little bit, it'll be enough. He's kind of a smaller school project, but he could really be one high potential. I can see them going for him over a little more polished Andrew Thomas, but either one really works. Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Offensive tackle.
All right, absolutely. Paul, last to you. With that 10th pick, where are they going?
So this one doesn't really make sense for the Browns, just because of who they do have, like you were saying, with Landry and Odell. But I have Jerry Jeudy going with them just for the, entertaining the thought of his speed at his position with those two other guys, just being absolutely nasty out there. Just the thought of it, because Jerry Jeudy is incredibly fast. And I unfortunately got to see that firsthand with when they were playing, Michigan was playing Alabama, because he absolutely destroyed Michigan. Granted, probably not that much of a accomplishment given our teams lately, but he's still incredibly quick. And I think that'd be really fun to see with him, having Mayfield actually having all of those three guys out there. Would be pretty cool to watch. Don't think it's going to happen. I actually have him actually really going to the Jets, but I wouldn't want to talk about him, so I put him at 10. So.
All right, that's fair. By the way, Paul just absolutely ruined it. I was going to throw him a curveball and be like, oh, yeah? Who's going with the 11th pick, Paul? But you already said who you take. So you took me right out of it. No, that's great.
Gotcha.
I don't think anyone would be astonished to see those 10 names be the 10 off the board. Obviously, there's a million different ways. We've seen some real curveballs over the years. Let me ask you this, though, Russ. Would you be surprised to see, I don't know, let's ballpark it, three drafts or three trades in the top 10?
I see two easy.
And I'm not saying trades where one team falls out of that 10. You could have – there's been a lot of speculation. I don't think it'll happen.
Well, yeah, like the Lions, yeah.
Well, that one, but there's also been speculation. And this one I for sure don't think will happen, and we talked about it last week, is the Dolphins trading up for number one.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen, but it's a chance. It'll be tough for the Dolphins trade to happen and a Lions trade to happen because, I mean, you're sitting there and – Chargers will probably just take whatever falls at that point. So, no, I guess I'll take the under for three trades. The only thing that might throw it off is, like, the 49ers have two first-round picks. They could have the power to come up and sneak into the back half of that top 10. Absolutely. And make a selection. I mean, for a Super Bowl-caliber team, it could be the thing that puts them over the top, so I wouldn't be surprised if they were aggressive. They just don't have any second or thirds this draft, so they probably have to trade futures.
Well, if they want to win a Super Bowl, they definitely need to trade up and draft a quarterback. Jay, I'm sorry. I was just mean to your boy. But over-under on three trades in the first 10?
I can see it. I'll stick with two. I think a lot of it's going to shake out in the first top five picks. I got to go. I'll stay at two. There's a lot of good talent within the first 10 players that I think there's a lot of good needs, too. So I'll stay at two.
Yeah. Are you staying at two because it sounds like Tua?
Yes.
Figured him out.
Yeah. Paul, you are the last one to answer this one. Over under that we could see at least three trades in the top 10.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the under. I'm thinking maybe one. And if it's going to be any, it's going to be the Lions making a horrible decision.
Yeah. That's a great decision, Paul. You just made a really great decision right there. I'm with you guys. That was more of a bait question. I really don't think we'll see more than two. Like I said, I can see that Lions, Dolphins one. I actually like Russ's trade of the Raiders and the Jags. That's a trade I could definitely see happening. Other than that, I agree with you, Russ. I don't think the Chargers are going to reach. The Chargers, pretty reasonably should be able to believe that one of these quarterbacks is going to fall to them. It's just a matter of which one. So I really don't see more than maybe two, and that'd be a bit of a reach. So, yeah, that's our top 10. Obviously, touch on it a little bit more as we go along leading up to this NFL draft. That's going to be entertaining, to say the least. All right, well, that's enough stalling. It's time to get to it. We did the jersey bracket last week. Had a lot of fun with it. We literally influenced Justin into changing his mind about something that he had his mind changed about, or he made up about. So it was fun. I want to see if I can do it again. So without further ado, Pistons jersey bracket, do what I did last week and hand the reins over to the stat man, Russ Ivanek.
Oh, dear God. I'll say it once again, like I did last week. Hold on to your butts. Same format as last week. 10 teams make it in. We have two games for the play-in round, the bottom four teams. In this particular iteration of the numbers game, oh boy, are these teams bad. it really drops off after the first like four or five teams in Pistons history, as it turns out. But we'll start it off with our first play-in round. It's team fives and team sevens. If you can't think of anyone that wore that number, hey, you probably won't in a minute either when we tell you who they are. But a quick refresher on the format. There are five players. We roughly tried to stick to a semblance of a logical lineup, sticking to position. But there are two flex players that, at your discretion, fill in, change the lineup. You want to play three guards, two forwards, and play small ball? Go right ahead. That can be your justification for why one team can beat the other. So, starting off with Team 5, we've got Hall of Famer Dick McGuire, wore number 15, and Jenny Johnson, also wore number 15. Adrian Dantley at forward, wearing 45. And then rounded out the starting lineup is Jack Karras, wearing 15, and Amir Johnson at center, wearing 5. Maybe one of the better benches we have here, surprisingly, given the starting lineup. Christian Wood, Derrick Rose, a lot of new Piston blood fitting in for that Team 5. Then they go against Team 7, and, well, you've probably heard of some of these guys. I'll rip through them quick here. We've got Frankie Bryan, Chucky Atkin, and Kelly Trapuka, all wearing number 7. The lone Hall of Famer on the team, Bob Hubriggs, wearing 17. Zaza Pachulia and his, like, half a season as a Piston is enough to qualify him as a center for this squad. Tells you where the 7s are at. And then a pair of Brandons, a pair of 7s on the bench. Brandon Jennings, Brandon Knight, same era, bad Piston basketball. But they round out Team 7. So I'll throw it back to Eric to start us off here. Team 5, Team 7, first play-in round matchup. Who gets the win?
Team 5. Team 5, Team 5, Team 5, and it's not even close. You have Adrian Dantley, who up until he was traded for locker room reasons, not for playing reasons, was the best player and the best scorer on those Bad Boys teams. He was hands down the best player, but unfortunately he didn't get along with anyone else in the locker room. It was a big rift, and Mark Aguirre, who we'll talk about in a little bit as being on one of these teams, is what they traded for. But you also have a guy who, listen, if you're in the NBA and your nickname is the Microwave, you're therefore just the greatest thing ever.
Heat him up.
So yeah, absolutely. Heat him up, had the ability to get hot real quick. And for that reason, I am taking Team 5 to advance in that first play-in round.
Okay, we'll break up the order a little bit. We'll go over to Paul. Team 5 and Team 7. Anyone catching your eye? Who do you got winning this one?
Well, I'm going to have to go with a few more Hall of Famers on Team 5 side, I guess. And, you know, Derrick Rose, whether or not he's in his prime, I still like Team 5 better, even just for the stat reasons as well. I think all the lucky number 7s on Team 7 is not enough to cut it. I still think Team 5 is going to go with the win.
All right. No luck needed here.
Very nice.
All right. Justin, going over for your vote, Team 5 and Team 7. And does the fact that Dick McGuire's name is Dick, does that help you at all?
They got a Dick. They got a Dick. They got a Johnson. They got a Wood.
They got two Johnsons.
I mean, I know Zaza Pachulia, which is hilarious because he's probably had the shortest tenure out of all the people, but I know Zaza. And then how do you shoot down a Dick Johnson Woodrose? So I'm going with Team 5.
Team 5 all day. Now, listen, we said this was going to go majority rules, so Russ, you're kind of the odd man out unless you went, you know, with us.
No, I went with Team 5. Go with the more Hall of Famers. You go with the better bench. And, I mean, I picked Dustin Johnson how many times in a row for golf? Like, I can't.
It's very true.
It's an inappropriate pun, and I can't resist. So it's a clean sweep, Team 5 over Team 7. Takes us to our second play-in round game between Teams 8 and 9. Pulling up the lineups here. So Team 8 actually have a point guard, I guess we can call him that. Wasn't exactly a starter in his playing time with the Pistons, but he is here in Jose Calderon. And we had Fred Schaus, Bailey Howell, Curtis Rowe, and then Hall of Famer Walt Bellamy on the bench. A couple of shooting guards, small forward flex players, Aaron Afalo and Darvin
God bless you.
Ham. yeah, exactly. This is the 7-10 matchup, so this is, again, we haven't even really got to the cream of the crop, but it does get so much worse. Team 9 physically hurt for me to put this squad together, so I do apologize for everyone who has to hear the words and the players that I say next. we'll start with Langston Galloway because, shockingly, it's all downhill from there. Then Beno Udre, Chris Wilcox, Mel Hutchins, Reggie Harding. Is your starting lineup, and then Sviatoslav Mihailiuk, who is a bench player in the current Pistons iteration, somehow makes it into the top 7 all time. And then Charlie Black rounds out the bench. Three nines, three 19s, a 29, maybe not a single solid starter wearing 9 in Pistons history. It's shocking to me, guys. Let's find out if it's shocking to you. We'll start with Justin.
Wait. We're doing basketball. Why is there a hockey name in the basketball teams?
Which
That's
one?
Not right. The one I can't pronounce. Slava Rava Habadaga Mikhailov. That's a hockey name.
There is a strong history of Eastern European basketball, damn it.
No, I actually know who that is. It was just good.
Well played. he could be a fourth round forward that gets drafted out of the KHL as well.
All right, Jay, it's
did you just say slava hava lava ding dong?
I did. And then I added it. And then I added it. My God. At the end to get his last
name.
Hey,
when I was looking at team eight, first of all, Jose Calderon sounds like a Tigers shortstop. And
yes,
and I read Darvin Ham as Darren Helm. Okay, so we are falling apart.
Did that help or hurt things?
Well, I'm going with team eight just on the fact with Russ's well put together research, we've got two Hall of Famers on team eight, which beats out the likes of a Chris Wilcox and a Slava Malatchuk. Team eight wins the play in game.
On the back of the strong logic that two is in fact greater than zero, Justin makes six. So we'll throw it over to Paul. Paul, are you with him or are you going against him?
Well, speaking of picks, I'm just going to pick just because. The fact that we have two Hall of Famers on teammate, that's the only reason I can even pick teammate. I have no idea who these guys are. One shares the last name with me. I'm not related to them.
See?
I have no idea who these guys are. I, too, cannot pronounce the guy on Team 9. I'm not even going to attempt it. Justin did a wonderful job, though. I'm going to agree, Team 8, because of two Hall of Famers, as lame as that sounds, teammate wins.
All right. Going over to Eric, we've got a sweep in the brewing here for Team 8.
Oh, it's a sweep.
It's a sweep?
It's a sweep.
We keep moving here?
It's a sweep.
Okay.
Team 8, it's a sweep of the available players in this. I do know who most of these guys are, but I would say that if you're trying to at least piece together a team, the names of Jose Calderon, Walt Bellamy being a Hall of Famer, Aaron Aflalo and Darvin Ham, I at least know their skill set enough to know that they could get through a game. It wouldn't be pretty, but when you're going up against six guys no one's ever heard of and an Eastern Ukrainian former hockey player, you got the W.
Hey, he fights the best of
Stallone. That's a hockey position that counts.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I'm pretty sure he fought against Sylvester Stallone at one point, right?
Yeah, it's very possible.
He probably did.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
He did.
Okay. So moving on from the play-in round, Team 5 with clean sweep. The 8 seed goes on to play our number 1 seed, Team 1. Not confusing at all that Team 1 is the number 1 seed. Later we'll find out Team 2 is the 2 seed. We're very creative with seeding around here. So you've already been introduced to Team 5, led by Adrian Dantley and all of the penis jokes you can fit in one team. But then we have Team 1, the stars of the group at home. You've probably already started to list them off. You're probably not done yet. It's Chauncey Billups and Isaiah Thomas. We have in the backcourt here, Dave Bing joins them for a three-guard rotation. Tracy McGrady, Bob McAdoo leading the rest of the starters here. A little bit of a small ball unit, but holy cow, it's four Hall of Famers, and we could have a fifth with Chauncey soon. On the bench, Allen Iverson for his cup of tea with the Pistons, and Terry Tyler. Holy hell. It's five Hall of Famers on one squad. Not all of them in their prime with the Pistons, but a Hall of Famer is a Hall of Famer in my book. So we will we'll start with Eric on this one. Team 1 and Team 5, who you got going here, and do we have to listen to another round of Justin making penis jokes?
No, you're going to hear me say the one thing I started mouthing the second you said the name Allen Iverson, and that is practice. We talking about practice. Listen, I agree with you that this is the Hall of Fame team. And I, in my opinion, it's seven Hall of Famers and one, Terry Tyler who gets to be on this team. He's like the Darko. He gets to be on the team. He gets to be on the team. It is small ball and you have to look at that and who they're playing. You can maybe make an argument that Team 5 is a little bit of a bigger, more physical team, but you have the greatest point guard to ever play for the Pistons. You have, in my opinion, the second and third greatest point guard to play for the Pistons. Dave Bing and Chauncey Billups are both point guards. Tracy McGrady is still Tracy McGrady. Is he the Orlando Magic Tracy McGrady? No, but he still has the ability to score. Bob McAdoo was a force. Allen Iverson off the bench would be very, very, very hard for anyone to guard. And, so I don't think this is going to surprise anyone, but Team 1, they're going to win this.
Okay. So we got our first vote for Team 1. Paul, are we making it 2?
Easily Team 1. Like, I actually recognize all their names.
That's an important factor.
But on a serious note, like, you know, they, like you were saying, you know, all these Hall of Famers, Chauncey Billups will be in 1 in no time. You have a bunch of guys that can go lights out. One of them doesn't even need to practice. I mean, that's a very stacked team, and they will easily take that victory over Team 5. No problem.
All right, we got 2 votes in. Justin, can we make it?
Man, dick jokes. Very short time. Team 5 will have incredible shrinkage. They will not be able to overcome Team 1. They even got a guy who had a mayoral stint on it. Dave Bing, the ex-mayor. I mean, he's got my vote. Team 1's got my vote. Rock on with your bad self.
Okay. We got 3 votes. Can we get 4? We can get 4. I'm obviously taking Team 1 here. You kind of heard my comments on it earlier. Don't think we have to belabor it anymore. It's a hell of a team. Moving on to round 2. The next one, introducing 2 teams we haven't talked about yet. Team 3, who is the 4th seed, and Team 4, who is the 5th seed. And that didn't confuse me twice earlier today at all. Team 3, a lot of Pistons you would have heard of. Pretty much a bunch of guys from our lifetime. And also Mark McGuire, who Eric had mentioned earlier. So we start with Rodney Stuckey and Grant Hill in the backcourt, and Mark McGuire, Blake Griffin, and someone named Ben Wallace we might have talked about once or twice on this
Hall
podcast.
Of Famer!
Potential Hall of Famer Ben Wallace joins actual Hall of Famer Grant Hill on the lineup there. And then Jerome Williams and Mehmet Okur give him some flexibility coming off the bench. They go against Team 4, who might have heard of this guy for maybe more what he does in the front office than his teammates when they would beat people up. Joe Dumars, we're number 4, joined by Andy Phillip for a Hall of Fame backcourt here. And then Corliss Williamson, wearing 34, Antonio McDice, 24, and Rick Mahorn on the broadcast. Nope, playing on center here. Wearing 44, Rick Mahorn. Bench, Tobias Harris and Chris Webber, a couple short-time Pistons who got some name recognition, got some talent, but have moved on since. Chris Webber sporting the odd 84.
But I have that jersey. Have that jersey.
Well, would that kind of nepotism impact your vote here?
Me? No. This one's pretty easy for me, even if you just line the rosters up. Joe Dumars is one of the greatest Pistons of all time, but you stack that with the rest of the guys he had to play with. A lot of them, Antonio McDice was in the later stages of his career when he came there. He was just trying to get to a title. Rick Mahorn was all physicality. Tobias Harris was actually a good player to have when we had him. And he who shall not be named because he can't count to 5 timeouts was on the team for a very brief time. You go to the other side. Rodney Stuckey was actually thought to be the point guard of the future when they drafted him. He didn't pan out. Grant Hill is Grant Hill. He was amazing. I feel so bad that he had to spend his career in those ugly green jerseys, but he did. Spoke
teal
about Mark,
is real.
Mark McGuire. Teal is real. Mark McGuire, obviously. Blake Griffin he's the best player on our team right now. Ben Wallace. So yeah, there's just too much talent on that number 3 team to be able to stop. I take number 3.
Okay. All right. We'll jump over to Paul here for his vote as well. Do you fear the fro, Paul? Or are you going with the other team?
Ooh, got to go with Team 3. You know, Ben Wallace and Blake Griffin right there slammed that basketball down. And Grant Hill, he was actually my favorite Piston from back in the day and Hall of Famer. You know, those 3 in particular definitely make this team an attractive option. So I'm definitely going with Team 3, even though Joe Dumars was one of my favorite as well. Just like the rest of the roster there is not too impressive to me, but I like Team 3 best.
All right. Justin, we'll throw it over to you. We've had exactly no –
it's excellent for podcasting.
So
I absolutely love you. Just complete everyone on the same page. I actually know most of these names. The only one I don't know is Corliss Williams and Jerome Williams. Or Williamson and Williams. Those are the only I know Mehmet Okur. I know these people. You cannot say Mehmet Okur without doing the Cardi B sound of Okur. okay? You got to do it. Just do it. You can tell that I'm back here because I have no content to add here. I'm going with Team 3. They're stacked. I know these players. I watch them play. I can verify that Paul did like Grant Hill. I'm pretty sure Paul had a Grant Hill jersey as a kid because I saw it. Yes. Yes. So I'm going with Team 3.
I did.
And on my memories. Okay.
Okay. Well, the only Pistons jersey I had was Joe Dumars. That's not going to help him here, though. It is Team 3. It's a sweep. I can also say Mehmet Okur.
Okur!
And we're fine there. We can leave that just hanging there. So we'll move on to the next matchup. Maybe we'll start to get some disagreements here. It's Team 8, who we just saw a little bit ago, comes in to play Team 2. Looking over it, maybe we won't have a disagreement yet, but we'll get through it here. Well, introducing Team 2, don't have a true point guard here, but they do have a ton of talent. Jerry Stackhouse and Rip Hamilton, wearing 42 and 32 respectively, are the guards. And then we have Hall of Famers George Yardley and Dave DeBouchier. Good luck. I hope I said that right. And then John Sally of Bad Boy fame, wearing 22, is the center on the squad. Chris Middleton, who moved on to greener pastures and is now kicking ass with the Bucks. Good job letting him go, Joe. Is on the bench with our own Tayshaun Prince, good for a good rundown block or two every single game. That's our Team 2. Just a reminder on Team 8, Calderon, Schuss, Howell, Rowe, Bellamy, and then Aflalo and Ham, not Helm, on the bench there. So we'll throw it over to Justin to start. Team 2 and Team 8, who do you
got? To me, it's going to be very easy. It's going to be Team 2. We did not know a whole lot about teammate that I just learned a couple nice things, but, Stackhouse, Hamilton and Prince, Tayshaun Prince was excellent. I loved watching him play. I'm getting bobbleheads thrown in my face on this Skype video. Eric's dancing. We're electing Team 2. Let's go.
All right. Going over to Mr. Bobblehead himself, Paul, who are you voting for in this matchup?
For those who can't hear the fact, I'm holding up a Rip Hamilton bobblehead.
Great radio.
That right there tells you who I'm picking. Rip Hamilton was, I think, one of the better Pistons as well. And with a great supporting team here to go along with it. So I'm definitely, unfortunately, not going to be contrary, but Team 2 as well.
Okay. Eric, do we have any disagreement here for you? Going over to you on this one.
Oh, hello. Yes, I have no disagreement with whatsoever. You have Rip Hamilton, Jerry Stackhouse, Tayshaun Prince, George Yardley, who I actually had to call my dad to find out who this guy was. First person to ever score 2,000 points in a season. First guy to ever do it.
Isn't that good?
Well, that was the no one had ever done it before. That he averaged about 27 points a game that season.
That's okay.
John Sally, Chris Middleton. It's a very solid team, but this team kind of goes wherever Rip and Jerry Stackhouse take them, and I think they can get far enough to get past teammate all day. So I take Team 2.
All right, I'll make it quick. I'm in agreement with you guys. There's way too much talent on Team 2. Positions be damned. They're moving on here. So our final matchup, Round 1, Team 0 and Team 6, I promise you will have heard of at least some of these guys. So we'll start with Team 6 in a second here. Team 6, led by Ronald Murray and Bruce Brown, probably not the guys you've heard of, but moving on, Terry Mills, Rasheed Wallace, and Hall of Famer Bob Lanier, and then Chuck Cooper and Larry Faust on the bench. Chuck Cooper, Hall of Fame member, so we do have two on this squad. They are the sixth seed, so that's right after that cutoff that we were really saying where the real talent is. But here's the fun. Team 0. A little light on the guards, but Lindsey Hunter and John Barry are holding it down for him, wearing 10 and 20 respectively. And then here comes the boom, here comes the fun, here comes the concussion if you think about trying to beat them. Dennis Rodman, Greg Monroe, Bill Laimbeer are the front court here, and then Harry Golat and Andre Drummond find their way onto the bench. I know it's tough, but we went with a big squad here. And for all of what he did put up a lot of maybe empty calorie numbers, but he did put up a lot of numbers, did Andre Drummond, before he got shipped to Cleveland, which by all appearances, he hates just as much. so that puts a smile on people's face. We'll go over to Justin to start with this one for the final match of round one. Team Zero, Team Six, who's moving on?
Team Six looks kind of cute. I do like the fact that they've got Larry Faust. Little fun fact, Larry Faust scored the game-winning bucket in the lowest scoring game in NBA history. It was a 19-18 victory, which is outstanding that that's the amount of points they got scored in a basketball game. So I do like Larry Faust, even though that happened in the 20s and that was eons ago. It's Team Zero. Dennis Rodman, that's all I need to say.
Fantastic. All right, moving on to Paul. Do you have nearly as interesting of a trivia fact for us along with your vote?
Unfortunately, I do not. But so I like Team Zero for Lindsey Hunter, who can shoot lights out. Dennis, I mean, the guys are going to literally beat you up on the court. Dennis Rodman, you know, Monroe, Laimbeer. Andre Drummond, you know, he's obviously a, you know, contributor. So just from what I know about Team Zero and what I don't know about Team Six, I'm going with Team Zero. Just because that's enough for me right there.
Okay. All right. We got Paul's vote. We're moving at a steady pace here. Eric. Do you keep it going, or are you a little disruptive?
I'm going to disrupt you for one thing. You have an inaccurate player on an inaccurate team. One, it's Bob Lanier.
Oh,
but
yes,
two, no, you're good. You're good. He's fine there. Rasheed Wallace could be on Team Zero. Rasheed Wallace also wore number 30 with the Detroit Pistons.
He did, but I counted games and assigned him to the team played the most games.
Yeah, I'm just giving you a hard time. He won a title in 30. He won a title wearing 30, man. even if you add Rasheed, that just makes it even more one-sided than it already is. Lindsey Hunter, he's an asshole. I don't like him. John Barry. No, actually, after the show, I'll tell you a story. I have a very good story about Lindsey Hunter. John Barry, obviously Dennis Rodman, Greg Monroe, Bill Laimbeer, Andre Drummond. Listen, there's no way you're ever going to get a layup on this team because there's just too many big guys that will kill you. Team Six, Bruce Brown, Ronald Murray, Terry Mills. Sheed and Lanier are about the only thing that could keep them in it, and I just don't know that they could keep them in it long enough to win this one. So not really a big surprise. Team Zero gets through.
Yep, and I'm the same. Strength is the bigs versus the bigs. I think Team Zero, if they don't beat them with the bigs, they at least have some guards worth talking about there to make up for it, so they get the nod. Moving on to the next one. So, unsurprisingly, we have no upsets so far. We have no disagreements. Hopefully that changes as we move into the semifinals here. We have Team 1 versus Team 3, our 1 seed versus our 4. We'll go back to Eric to start here between Team 1 and Team 3. Where are you standing, and can you dare put Team 1 over your baby boy Ben Wallace?
Well, if for all of you that can see me right now, I'm holding up a Ben Wallace jersey. And that's because I do. I really do love Ben. But, oh, wait, I'm conflicted because Chauncey Billups is better. So there was no real debate in this one. Again, this is kind of like where you put that Team 9 for the hockey jerseys up. No matter who you put them up against, there's just not enough talent to get through. Even if you go through it, I honestly believe that Grant Hill has to keep this team in it because Ben Wallace is not going to be much of an offensive help to you. Rodney Stuckey was more of a facilitator. Mark Aguirre could score in pace. Blake Griffin, you know, will be a helper. But you have to get past Isaiah, Chauncey, Dave Bing. Chauncey, being 6'4", was a capable shooting guard. So you have three guys that can handle the ball and two for sure that can score in buckets. Add Tracy McGrady and Bob McAdoo to that. Team 1's just too solid, and there's just too much red.
All right, solid analysis from Eric. Paul, we move on to you. Where does your vote lie?
Yeah, again, I can't be contrary here. You know, Team 1 is just way too stacked, even still, in this comparison. I think I have my pick already for the next as well, and I think that they will have a tougher time with them. But I got to go with Team 1 for this one for sure.
Okay. We got two votes. Justin, we come over to you. Who's moving on to the final?
Team Outside one. Of what Eric and Paul elaborated on, I do enjoy Team 1's depth and flex more so than Mehmet Okur and Jerome Williams. So I'm gonna go with Team 1 just because they have more depth, whereas you have a huge fallout, I feel, after Ben Wallace. So Team 1 goes.
Okay, and we'll make it a clean sweep. I also took Team 1. Just want to bring up something that Eric brought up is a great point. Chauncey Billups does have experience playing the two, would definitely come in handy with this point guard heavy team. Imagine running that three-guard rotation and then filling in Allen Iverson, whatever, for the entirety of a game. You get to rotate those four through three spots. That's terrifying, and that's enough to put them in the finals here. All right, so we go into our other semifinal matchup, Team 2 and Team 0. We're going to go back to Justin to start here. I'm hoping this is where we have our first disagreement. This is the one that I highlighted as the really one of the toughest calls I had to make. Justin, where did you fall?
Brief pause here because I'm looking at this again. You know, yeah, basically.
Hold.
Outside of why I don't know why Chris Middleton spelled his name with a K, because that makes no sense. And Dave looks like an appetizer at an Italian restaurant last name. Can't pronounce that one either. I know he's a little older. He's from 1940. I'm going to go with Team 0. I enjoy a physical style of sport, and I think I'm going to get that out of Rodman, Monroe, and Laimbeer. Lindsey Hunter is excellent. Andre Drummond is undesirable. So that's their weak point, but I will go with Team 0.
All right. So we have a vote for Team 0. We throw it over to Paul. Where do you stand on this one?
I was going to go with the grit of Team 0, even though Team 2 definitely has a lot of skill to offer. I think that Team 0 grit is next. Error is going to overtake the skill that two could put out. So I'm going to go with Team 0.
Okay. We got sandpaper. We got punch in the mouth. It's enough for Paul to move him on. We throw it over to Eric for Team 2 and Team 0. Please give us your educated opinion on this matchup.
No clean sweep here, folks. Sorry. This is absolutely going to Team 2 for the fact that Team 0, very gritty, very, very gritty team. But what you don't seem to factor into that is the number one scorer for Team 2 doesn't do layups. He does mid-range jump shots. He doesn't have to go to the basket to score. Rip Hamilton is one of the most efficient shooters of all time. And whoever you want to have guard him, whether it's Dennis Rodman, Lindsey Hunter, or John Barry, they're all going to be gasping for air because Rip spent the entire time treating NBA games like it was a track meet. Sprinted all around the court, unstoppable. Add in Jerry Stackhouse's physical play. Tayshaun Prince is going to try to go blow for blow with Dennis Rodman and can effectively do it. And John Sally's a big man that he practiced every day with Bill Laimbeer, so he knows what he's going to be getting. He can play for it. This is Team 2 because the other thing that I saw in it, and Russ, I'll pose it to you as well, I don't know who the heck is going to score for Team 0. They can stop whoever they want. I don't know who's going to score for them. Dennis Rodman, I think, barely averaged 10 points a game in his career. So Laimbeer probably would fall out pretty quickly. It's just they don't have anyone to score. It's Lindsey Hunter, and I don't think Lindsey Hunter can put up enough points to keep up with Rip Hamilton, who was averaging in the mid-20s during those going-to-work days.
Yep. No, you've exposed the weakness of Team 0. It's not a lot of consistent scoring, especially from range, which is exactly what Team 2 has in spades. I think it'll bite them in the ass eventually, not having a true point guard. But with the relative lack of guard skill that Team 0 has, this isn't the matchup where it bites them. I also have Team 2 moving on here. Just too much shooting talent. Way too much shooting talent to be able to effectively mitigate the strength of Team 0 without letting really Team 0 get anything going. It probably is going to be a low-scoring game, but I would definitely take Team 2 to win it. So we have a 2-2 split on this one.
Just real quickly, is this the closest that we would get to comparing going-to-work Pistons versus Bad Boys in terms of players that are on both these teams?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, you can't. You really can't get much closer when you add in Laimbeer, Dennis Rodman. Those are the two for that, on top of Isaiah. Isaiah's on the Team 1, but yeah, this is probably the closest. No other team really has a full going-to-work roster. I guess you could make the argument for maybe Team 3 because of Aguirre and Joe Dumars.
Because we're having the most contention on what could be a matchup we've talked about before. Actually, if you could watch that happen, it would be interesting. So I just wanted to point that out. Sorry.
What I would like to point out is, and I hate to break this to you guys, but we talked before the show, we worked it out. Team 2 is going to automatically win because we agreed for the tiebreaker that you and Paul had to come to an agreement. You're both going to pick 0. That only counts as one vote. Team 2 is going to win 2-1. So just
this is true. We did agree that.
I don't do math often, but when I do it sometimes makes sense.
Sometimes. But you are correct here. Yes, that does give the edge to Team 2 to move on. I'm so happy that we had a disagreement finally. Yeah. Well done, everyone. It's enough navel gazing for one podcast.
We really could potentially have another one with this finals, though.
I really hope we do, because if we're not going to disagree on the finals, where are we really going to disagree? The two best teams in our humbled opinions that we can construct in Pistons history, just using their jersey numbers, Team 1 with their 5 Hall of Famers, probably soon to be 6, Billups, Isaiah Thomas, Dave Bing, Tracy McGrady, Bob McAdoo, and Allen Iverson and Terry Tyler, take on Jerry Stackhouse, Rip Hamilton, George Yardley, Dave, well, he's got a D and then a bunch of letters, John Sally, Chris Middleton, and Tayshaun Prince. We'll give Eric the honor of going first on this one in the final matchup. Eric, which team you got?
Oh, gosh. I'm doing a Justin real quick. I'm stalling to get one thing confirmed because I had it in my notes, but I want to make sure I have it right. Yep, I have it right in my notes. Okay.
Oh, research, folks. Good job. Yeah,
this one's a little tough for me because we talked about how dangerous that 3-guard rotation is on top of being able to add in Allen Iverson. It really is. But the thing about it is Chauncey Billups is the tallest in that rotation. AI and Isaiah are both barely 6'1". Dave Bing is 6'3", Chauncey's 6'4". So the size goes against him because you want to mess with that other side. Jerry Stackhouse is 6'6", Rip Hamilton is 6'7", and Tayshaun Prince is 6'9". So the shortest guy on your two guards and first forward is 6'6". That's 2 inches taller than the tallest guy in your other guard rotation. Then you add in T-Mac and McAdoo, both 6'9", 6'10" players. This is where it kind of gets back to Team 1. Yardley is only 6'5", so he's not very big, even though he played forward. And John Sally is darn near close to 7 feet, so you get that. This is where it's tough. It really does become a fact of, does the size play enough of an advantage to take out the talent? Not to say that Rip, Tayshaun, and Jerry Stackhouse weren't talented, but it's just, this one was very tough for me, but I have to say, and sorry, I'm not going to be the debate here. Team 1 wins this with just too much talent, and an extra Hall of Famer sitting on a bench never hurts. But Team 2 makes a real tough run at it. They really do.
Okay, we have our first vote. It goes to Team 1. We'll throw over to Paul for the second vote in this. It's the finals, Paul. No pressure. Who you got?
So I'll suffice it to say that what Team 2 does really well, I think that Team 1 does a little bit better. So I'm going to go with Team 1 for the final.
Okay.
All right. Strength on strength, strength wins. All right. We'll throw it over to Justin.
You know, I was just trying to find an obscure thing about Bob McAdoo. I found some funny ones, but I'm not going to do it. He's got a hell of a mustache, is all I'm going to say. My childhood, talk about sports, talk about growing up. I knew Prince and Hamilton. Those are the two dudes I watched play basketball for the Pistons when I watched them when I was younger. I'm going to go with that duo. I'm going to go with that as their offensive scheme against Team 1. So we'll go with Rip. We'll go with Tayshaun. I'm going Team 2.
All right.
Team 2. All right. All right.
A disagreeing opinion here. All right. I'm going to more or less negate your vote here, Justin, because I am going with Team 1. It's just such a good roster. It's tough to really get through. Really what it comes down to for me is, this is where the lack of true point guard on Team 2 comes to bite them, whereas Team 1 has a vast overabundance of them. So ball movement's going to be key. Yes, they can both shoot the lights out. Yes, Team 2 probably has a size advantage, but if anything's going to negate a size advantage, it's going to be ball movement. It's going to be speed. Allen Iverson never met a pair of legs he couldn't dribble through. It's just too much for Team 1. I'm going to give them my vote, which gives them a 3-1. Win here and the crown going to Team 1.
Crown all day.
Not too much of a shock, but hey, it's good to go through the exercise and confirm it. Good job, everyone. We've made it through another one, and I'll kill you if you ask for a baseball or a football one in the next couple days.
Okay, scratching out that we should... down. No teasing next bracket. I would like to say though, we talk about the Bad Boys so much on this. A little kind of impressive that you only have one Bad Boy, or I'm sorry, two Bad Boys to three going to work Pistons: Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, and Tayshaun Prince against Isaiah and Sally. So these going to work Pistons were just as good as the Bad Boys. They just did it in a different way, in a different era. But no, really, very, very, very good one, and not really a surprise. It was kind of like Team 9 for the hockey. When you line up that roster, there's not a lot of teams you could put in front of them where you could say, oh, yeah, they could lose, because I just don't think so.
Yeah,
Shanny wasn't going to do it for you, buddy. Sorry, I don't want to hurt your feelings.
We're still relitigating last week. I love it.
Yeah. Tell you what, Jay, next week we'll put Team 4 from the hockey bracket up against
Team 1 get Bob,
from the Piston bracket.
I get Bob McAdoo with his mustache and the fact that he played for Dick Vitale. Bob McAdoo is going to be dangerous.
Yeah, Bob McAdoo is going to be dangerous. Ooh. All right, well,
but they have to play there's the kicker.
Yes. Yes.
Plot twist.
All right. Well, we've almost reached the end of the show. Obviously, we're all dying for sports to come back, because if we weren't, we wouldn't be doing this. We'd be talking about something else. But sports being such a big part of our lives. So I kind of want to end it with a little feel-good question, try to perk everybody up. So, Paul, since you know you're the guest on the show this week, we'll let you go first here. When this is all said and done, everything kind of starts coming back to normal as much as it can. What's the sporting event, whether it's, you know, any type, any sport you think of, what's that first thing you're going to put on that DVR to watch, sit down and enjoy when sports kind of comes back?
Easy. Michigan football at the Big House. Probably the worst place for social distancing. Absolutely.
I love it. That's a great one. That one didn't – I'm ashamed to say it. I pray to Bo right now that did not come through my mind, and that's a great one. That is an absolute great one. Jay, over to you. Mm-hmm. When it's all said and done, you can turn that TV back
yesterday,
on.
Yesterday, I watched grown-ass men take sharp knives and break it into things such as thick pieces of wood, rope, bottle caps, and more thick pieces of wood until they reach the red marker that their knife was indeed the sharpest knife. I will watch ping pong. I will watch kite flying. I will watch crochet. I will watch boulder tossing. I do not care. You're going to give me my sports and I'm going to watch it. Just like I watched men with sharp knives cut things. I will do it. Anything. Just I am desperate. I'm on my knees. I will take anything that's thrown at me. And I'm not being.
That one was also sexual.
Just yeah, I'm sorry. You're desperate and on your knees. Okay. Well.
Oh boy!
Definitely gonna have to click the explicit button on this week's show.
I am. Seriously.
All right, so Jay,
serious about that.
Not to sound sexual, Jay's up for anything.
Call me,
Russ. Russ, we go. Yeah, we call. We. How do you feel about doing this little later tonight once everybody goes to bed, Jay? I could, yeah, the after-hour show. Russ, we go over to you when it's all said and done.
So
what are you looking forward to
because
most?
The hilarity of people trying to figure out what we struggle through in the workplace on an online meeting constantly. It's going to be hysterical to watch. But discounting that, I'm going to go with the NHL playoffs, assuming they happen. Mm-hmm. Because not only do I think they're the best playoffs in sports, now they're fully rested. They're not dinged up. Carolina gets Dougie and goalies back, which would be nice. Tampa Bay gets Stamkos back. Half of Columbus's roster could be healthy again. We could have the very rare chance of having every team almost fully healthy headed into the playoffs and ready instead of ground into dust, which the season does. That's exciting. This could be the most fun that we've had in the NHL playoffs. They'll find a way to mess it up, though. I guarantee.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, they'll find a way to mess it up. All great. I had NHL playoffs as a top contender. I really did. Little side note for me. Jay, this is just reaching out to Jay. I'm looking forward to the Masters in November. Something different, something we haven't seen before. Obviously, I hope it's not November before we see sports. But if it is, it'll be enjoyable. Little weird and a little sad in the way I say it. I'm looking forward to a baseball game. I feel like it's been so long since we've seen baseball. You won't notice that there are no fans in the stadium because the Tigers don't usually have fans in the stadiums anyway. so it won't be bad. But I'm looking forward to just, you know, getting out there, seeing it, because it's weird. Like, your brain kind of programs that we're 2 months into what should be baseball season, and we haven't seen a single pitch.
It was because suddenly,
Russ, I see your face. What's the
Bill
scary
Lear and Derrick Rose are trending on Twitter, and dear God, how did they hear us already?
Oh, that's very scary. It's very scary. I would love to watch some baseball. I agree, though. NHL playoffs, the chance to say everybody's out there, everybody's healthy, that can be healthy, will be amazing.
Yeah, no, two
and
quick
I'm
things
very,
to follow
very
up on what you said.
Jay,
well, some of my
you?
Fondest memories on the weekend is literally cutting my grass, opening up my door wall, and watching round four on a Sunday. So if you can give me golf, I'm salivating for that. It's spring mm-hmm. outside. It's golf on my TV. The kids are jumping on my stomach. That is some of my favorite shit right there. But also for baseball, we did not get to enjoy every single player from the Astros getting hit by pitches yet.
There
so
you go.
That was in my brain before, yes. like pre-COVID. I was excited for that, okay? So I will take a baseball game as well.
That's fair. I like that.
Justin, the fact that that's what you're looking for scares me. You know, that's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. Obviously, we're all itching to get sports back. It's been a rough couple weeks without it. We'll see what we can come up with for next week. But as always, my thanks to D.O. Pauly Rowe for joining us.
Thanks for having me yet again.
Oh, always going to have you. Anytime you got time for us, we got time for you. Justin Marcus, listen, man, I'm sorry we keep taking your teams out of contention.
Right, I'm gonna pick my fantasy
team
because if fantasy hockey resumes, I'm picking me all the way, baby. Don't worry about that.
This guy.
Always good to bet. That's the confidence you want to give your children. Always bet on yourself. But in doing so, let the stat man Russ Ivanek give you the odds.
They're not great.
On yourself, because I'm going to tell you, he's not going to give you great ones. Stat man Russ Ivanek.
It's a blast every single week.
Statman, we always appreciate
you having me again. And just a quick alert to everyone, our poll just went final. The audience, Twitter, has agreed with us. Team 9 from the Red Wings are, in fact, the tournament champs, just as we named them. Well done, everyone. Justin, you were wrong again. Good job, bud.
No surprise. And as always, this is no surprise because it's been the same way. Put your shirt on. As always, this should be no surprise to anyone because it's been the same way for the last 104 episodes. I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. That's one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response, were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.